connected and make friends. This morning, I want to talk to you about stay spiritually strong. I'm just going to touch two chapters. Last week, we went through 10 chapters. So today, hopefully, it's less chapters, but the talk is probably just about as long. Amen. How many, maybe you've heard this story, maybe you haven't. Perhaps you remember the story about an elderly husband and a wife. They were both a little bit hungry. So the husband said, I'm going to go get myself something to eat. So the wife asked and said, well, I'd like something too. And she said, would you get me some? He said, sure. And she said, well, I think I'd like some ice cream with chocolate sauce and a glass of milk. You better write it down so you don't forget it, she said. Any wives ever said that to their husbands? He said, I'll remember. She shook her head, and before long, he came back and presented her with scrambled eggs, sausage, and a glass of milk. She looked at him with disgust and said, you forgot my toast. It's amazing how our memories fade, and some memories never come back. In our text today, we're going to find out that the children of Israel quickly forget. They lose their memory of how God has protected and fed them, how he led them out of Egypt. You would think with all that God had done for them that they would never, ever turn away from him. But they're going to struggle to stay spiritually strong. Interestingly enough, they will try to be spiritual in some fashion, but not really spiritually strong. See, Moses, we find out, has gone up on Mount Sinai to meet with God. And he has been gone for about 6 weeks. In chapter 31 of Exodus, we have the closing of God giving some final instructions before Moses is going to take all these commandments to the people. And God tells him, I've anointed some people to help you with the task that is before you. In Exodus 31, we read verse 2 of those people. See, I have chosen Bezalel, son of Uri, son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And I have filled him with the Spirit of God, with wisdom and understanding, with knowledge and with all kinds of skills to make artistic designs for work in gold and silver and bronze, to cut and set stones, to work in wood, and to engage in all kinds of crafts. Man, this guy was talented. He goes on in verse 6, moreover, I have appointed Aholiab, son of Ahizamak, of the tribe of Dan, to help him. Also, I have given ability to all the skilled workers to make everything I have commanded you. So God is setting everything up for Moses to go back to the people and begin to implement everything he has told him about the building of the tabernacle and everything. But the people were not spiritually where they needed to be. Somehow the people got impatient. They began to wonder, is Moses even going to come back? It may even appear that they wondered if God was gone too. Moses had always been the mediator between the people and the Lord. And maybe God and Moses had both deserted them in the desert. Listen to it in Exodus 32, verse 1. When the people saw that Moses was so long in coming down from the mountain, they gathered around Aaron and said, come, make us gods who will go before us. As for this fellow Moses who brought us up out of Egypt, we don't know what has happened to him. And as we continue to read, instead of encouraging the people to be faithful, Aaron, Moses' sidekick, reverts back to the days of Egypt, and he makes a golden calf. In verse 2, we read, Aaron answered them, take off the gold earrings that your wives, your sons, and your daughters are wearing, and bring them to me. So all the people took off their earrings and brought them to Aaron. And he took what they handed him and made it into an idol cast in the shape of a calf, fashioning it with a tool. Then they said, "These are your gods, Israel, who brought you up out of Egypt." I have to pause for a moment. That's scary. Verse 5, when Aaron saw this, he built an altar in front of the calf and announced, "Tomorrow there will be a festival to the Lord." So the next day the people rose early and sacrificed burnt offerings and presented fellowship offerings. Afterward, they sat down to eat and drink and got up and indulged in revelry. Heavenly Father, I'm thankful for your word and that you do not hide anything. You don't cover things up. You let us see them for what they were. But Lord, in the midst of this, I pray you will help us to stay spiritually strong. God, that all the influences of our past will not influence our future. Help us, we pray. Amen. In this passage, we find that Aaron presented a calf to the people, and he declared, "The calf is the Lord." That astonishes me. The people brought sacrifices and began to worship this foolish idol. I mean, how could the people worship a calf instead of the Lord? I mean, how could they forget and desert the one that had redeemed them in such a dramatic fashion? I mean, how did they so easily forget the 10 plagues, the Red Sea, the water from the rock, the manna that came every morning, the defeat of the Amalekites, the trembling mountain that is in front of them? It's hard for me to imagine how they could forget, yet it happened. This morning I have a basic and simple question, is how can we keep this from happening to us? How do we stay spiritually strong as we wait for the return of our Savior? How do we not forget that God is there and He is for us and not against us? I want us to look at several things. One is the vulnerable times that happen and affect our spiritual walk and consequences of forgetting. And then I'm just going to share some practical steps to help guard us. Let me start with times when we're most vulnerable to forgetting our spiritual walk. There are times. Number one, I believe when we face a delay. In the story, we find the people are getting impatient in reaching the promised land, impatient in receiving God's instructions for worship. They're impatient with the delay of Moses coming down from the mountain. And in their impatience, they reacted rather than thought. They forgot about the faithfulness of God in the past, and they drew some wrong conclusions and took some foolish actions. Church, it happens when we face delays as well. We make some foolish choices, and we draw some wrong conclusions when there are delays at times. It happens when we pray sometimes, and there seems to be no answer. So we begin to question whether God is there or not. You know what I'm talking about? Or it happens when we face some nagging temptation in our life and don't seem to gain victory, so we get frustrated because it isn't happening like I wanted it to. Or maybe it happens when an illness lingers and we begin to feel that God has abandoned us. Don't misunderstand God's delays. He does everything in perfect timing. And when there seems to be a delay, church, trust God completely. Trust Him. A second part where we're vulnerable is when we're under pressure. Another time when our spiritual walk can be threatened is when we face the pressure of a crowd that's around us. Can you imagine being Aaron? Angry crowd standing in front of him, and they want answers, and he doesn't have any. And now the only way Aaron is going to quiet this crowd down is basically give them what they want. So he caves in to the pressure, and he turns away from God. Unfortunately, church, it's not unusual for that to happen in our lives as well. In fact, a teenager gets pressure from the crowd at school and they engage in behavior that they know is wrong. How many of your past, you know the influence and the pressure that it happens? Just a few of us. The rest of you are the influencers. Or an employee gets pressure from their boss and has to do something illegal. It's not good. An adult gets pressure from society to accumulate what they cannot pay for. It happens. You ought to have this house. You ought to have this car. You ought to have this. A child feels pressure from a parent and lies to avoid the consequence. It's the pressure. All kinds of pressure. And when we face pressure, we can often act like Aaron. We could choose to release the pressure without considering what the consequence might be. Could I tell you, don't let the pressure get to you. How do I deal with it? 1 Peter 5:7. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. You can throw all your cares, all your worries, all the pressure on Jesus. In fact, David in Psalm 55 verse 22 says this, cast your cares on the Lord. For he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous be shaken. A third area where we're vulnerable is when we play with sin. We can flirt with sin and ignore the warning signs, and you will definitely end up walking away from listening to the Holy Spirit, and you'll walk away from God. Look at what happened to the Israelites. They made and worshiped an idol. They just picked up their manna that morning. And now we want a golden calf. Then not only does they make a golden calf, it escalated into a party that moved into all kinds of despicable acts. Church, don't play with sin. Sin will always mislead you. James teaches us this in chapter 1, verse 13. And remember, when you are being tempted, do not say, God is tempting me. God is never tempted to do wrong, and he never tempts anyone else. Temptation comes from our own desires, which entice us and drag us away. These desires give birth to sinful actions. And when sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth to death. So don't be misled, my dear brothers and sisters. Fourthly, we're vulnerable when things are going well. Not just when we're under pressure, but also we're vulnerable when things are going well. We don't think about the danger that could happen in good times. See, when things are going well, all of a sudden we begin to feel self-sufficient and basically think, I don't need God. So we begin to trust our methods and our formulas and our own strength. And that will quickly move you away from God. You have to guard your heart in the good times and in the bad times. Serve him when you're on the mountain peaks and serve him when you're in the valley. And lastly, a fifth one is we're vulnerable when we suffer from spiritual weakness. See, while Moses was on the mountain, the people became spiritually weak and they drifted from their devotion to the Lord. The same thing can happen to us. We can get to a point sometimes in our spiritual life that we know the phrases. We know that we can sing the songs. We can quote the verses. You can even be respected. You can be involved. You can be called mature. But when we begin to think it won't hurt us if I skip a day or two with my reading of the Bible or I don't really need to pray today, you know. I mean, didn't we do this on Sunday? Did we not pray today? Did we not worship? Have we not gotten in his word? Sunday isn't enough, church. Sunday's important. It's our corporate time for prayer and worship and word. But the rest of the week is for you to walk spiritually strong by yourself. It's not that we have to do it alone, but you have to step out of this environment, which is so nice and so wonderful. But you've got to walk it this whole week. Don't drift from God due to your inactivity. Everything's okay. Church, I'm telling you, stay spiritually strong. Let me take a moment to talk about the consequence of spiritual forgetfulness. It's important that we realize that spiritual forgetfulness is not just a little thing. The price is steep. You need to know there is a consequence for walking away from God. If we do not have His grace to cover our sins, we will pay the price for our sins. Exodus 32, listen to the story as it continues. When Moses approached the camp and saw the calf and the dancing, his anger burned and he threw the tablets out of his hands, breaking them into pieces at the foot of the mountain. And he took the calf the people had made and burned it in the fire. Then he ground it to powder, scattered it on the water, and made the Israelites drink it. All down in verse 25, you need to understand this is what had happened, but not everybody got it. So here's what happens in verse 25 to 28. Moses saw that the people were running wild and that Aaron had let them get out of control and so become a laughingstock to their enemies. So he stood at the entrance to the camp and said, "Whoever is for the Lord, come to me." And all the Levites rallied to him. Then he said to them, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Each man strap a sword to his side. Go back and forth through the camp from one end to the other, each killing his brother and friend and neighbor." The Levites did as Moses commanded. And that day about 3,000 of the people died. You can probably understand the anger of Moses. I mean, he had left the people just for a short period of time, 6 weeks. And as he is seeking God's direction for their lives, they are down there worshiping something made with their own hands. So when Moses comes down from the mountain, he takes the two tablets written by the very finger of God, it tells us, and he throws them to the ground and they shatter. I believe this is a visible reminder to the Israelites that they had already shattered the commandments of God. Next, Moses goes down and destroys the idol. He grounds it into dust, scatters it on the water, and makes the people drink it. You would think they would get it. You know, what we did was wrong. But they don't change, some of them. And Moses has to take drastic action. He enlists the help of those who are still loyal to the Lord, and he had them march through the camp, killing their friends and relatives who refused to turn from sin. And we're told that 3,000 were killed that day. To us, that sounds quite extreme. If I was to call forward this morning those who are loyal to the Lord and strap a sword on you and say, "Walk through this congregation, and anyone not living for the Lord, take them out." It's extreme. And we would be like, "I'm not coming back to that church." But just like them, there is judgment for those who do not turn from sin. And we must never forget that sin is serious business. So let me share with you some suggestions for helping us to remember to stay spiritually strong. Number one, be on your guard. Be on your guard. The first thing we have to recognize, church, is that we have a tendency to drift away from God. How many of you know that? I know that. Our tendency will happen that God, I love you, I worship you, you're great. We walk out of here and somebody on the road will cut you off down here on 6 miles somewhere and you just will leave God. We have a tendency to drift when things happen in our lives. We have to be aware of our own weaknesses and our propensity to sin. Because if we don't, we will lose our first line of defense. We have to remind ourselves every day we are sinners saved by grace. Stay on your guard to stay spiritually strong. Secondly, come often to God's Word. Every memory expert will tell you the key to remembering a person's name is to repeat it often after you first meet them. Repetition helps your memory. Church, we need to come back to God's word again and again. This is a story in Exodus. I have read it many, many times. But this particular time, I was more taken back by different things. We need to meditate on his word over and over, because God's word gives us the proper perspective that we need. We need to remind ourselves of God's word. And church, can I encourage you, set a time aside every day to read his word. Why don't you memorize some key verses? I know you've heard John 3:16 a thousand times. Hear it a thousand more times. It's okay. Memorize, say it, put it into your heart. Hide God's word in your heart so you don't sin against him. And thirdly, worship regularly. Somehow, church, we like our worship in here, but we have to discipline ourselves to worship regularly. We need to have personal times of worship as well as our corporate times. Regular, heartfelt worship always brings you back to the throne of God. It worship reminds us of where we're going and who is traveling by our side as we do it. So worship. If you need worship tapes, Pastor Matt, we'll help get them worship music. Somewhere, keep worship regularly. Number four, pursue spiritual growth. Church, we have to develop a hunger for God. The Bible teaches us to be content with what we have materially, but we should never be content where we are spiritually. Our desire should always be to learn more about God, to experience more of his power, to experience more of his Holy Spirit in our life, and to serve him wholly with our whole life. The moment you think you've arrived spiritually, you just drifted away from it. Refuse to measure yourself by others around you. Quit looking at who sits near you or beside you and go, I think I'm better than they are. Make your standard of comparison to Jesus, and you won't have to worry about ever feeling like you've arrived. Church, I want us to stay spiritually strong. Be on your guard. Come often to God's word. Worship regularly. Pursue spiritual growth. About 20 years ago, I did an album, and I put a song on that particular album. And this morning, not in the sense of worship, but I want to share a song with you this morning. I want you to listen to it carefully. It's entitled, You Took Me Out of Egypt. And in this song, I think one of the things that we realize is that we have influences in our life that, if we're not careful, they continue to impact us instead of us staying spiritually strong like God has called us to. I wasn't joking when I said earlier that you came to church, but church, I'd rather you be the church. We need to be what God has called us to be and to do what he's called us to do. He wants us to stay spiritually strong. Listen to this. Lord, I feel so empty. Seems like we're so far apart. And even though some may applaud me, you alone can see my heart. You don't look at my achievements or my ability. All you really want is all of me. And though it frightens me to give up my control, there is only room for one king in the throne room of my soul. Lord, you took me out of Egypt. Now take Egypt out of me. You delivered me from Pharaoh. now set me free from me. Let my heart become a promised land where the desert used to be. Lord, you took me out of Egypt. Now take Egypt out of me. I love the gifts you've given me, but I love the giver more. And to worship you more perfectly is what those gifts are for. Lord, you took me out of Egypt. Now take Egypt out of me. You delivered me from Pharaoh. Now set me free from me. Let my heart become a promised land where the desert used to be. Lord, you took me out of Egypt. Thank you for taking me out of Egypt. Lord, you took me out of Egypt. Now take Egypt out of me. It's a lot of contemplation in that song. I don't know how many of you have been so engaged in the world so long that even though you've come to Jesus, somehow in that process, the world still has the greatest influence on you. When God delivered his people from Egypt, he didn't want Egypt to no longer have its hold on them. In fact, there's a word that we use that we call the building, we call the body, the church. The Greek word for this is ecclesia. The word means called out ones. Church, we're called out. God took us and delivered us from our Egypts. But somehow, to stay spiritually strong, we've got to get Egypt out of us. I'm really scared of how our media is impacting our nation today. Church, if we do not wake up, you will compromise. I know we used to say, well, TV, there's some good, there's some bad, you just need to kind of wade through it. I'm not sure there's any good on it anymore. And when are we going to take Egypt out of us? This morning, I want to be careful that I'm not trying to pull out a big spanking stick against the church, and I'm not trying to condemn. I just have a great concern that so much of us have said we love God, but if we're not careful, we will turn things into idols. Do you understand the deception that happened, that they were delivered, they made this golden calf, and they said, this is what delivered us from Egypt? I encourage you, and I want to help you, because I don't want us to get to a place where all of a sudden our delusion is so far that we think church is what delivered us from our sin. It's not church. It's not programs. It's God. And so many times it's easy for us to think the place, the people. And we begin to elevate. Church, I can't save you. All I can do is share God's word with you, but it's about God. And this morning, my heart is so many times on Sunday, I love to encourage you and build you up and send you out of here with a smile on your face. And I still pray you'll do that. But this morning, there is something deep enough. As I've been walking through Exodus, and we have just a few more messages. In church, when this thing culminates, I'm going to have to go back and review, because you need to know every message has been intentional. You may think, oh, we've just been going through Exodus. No, we've been heading to our promised land. God set his law, and now he's saying, stay spiritually strong. I don't know what we'll face in the days ahead, but I can tell you right now, it won't be good. Believe me or not, I'll be prophetic. It's about to get bad. I don't know if that's a year, 6 months, 10 years, but I'm concerned, because in 10 years, you guys are just in your prime. Stay spiritually strong. I don't know if this message is for you today or if this message is going to be for you in 6 months. This is a foundation that God is trying to lay for your life. Don't be deceived. Church, we have been delivered from Egypt. He called us out of Egypt. He called us out of darkness into light. And I want to stay in that, walk in that. So I encourage you and share with you today my heart cry. And I've told the congregation this several years ago, but I remind you, you know what my greatest joy would be? Is if the rapture took place right now, there wouldn't be one person left. The honest truth is, I don't know. Only you do. Don't play with sin. Let's stay spiritually strong. If you love him, then love him. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. Did you understand that that doesn't mean glance? See, we glance on Sundays. Oh yeah, Jesus, you're great. No, fix your eyes on Jesus. He is the author and the perfecter of your faith. And for the joy set before him, he endured the cross and despised its shame. But now he is sat down at the right hand of the Father. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus.